Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. We got That Ain't Right stories coming up, good stories of the day. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, you are going to get a chance to catch a preview of our upcoming show, Unlabeled.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Seth and I are going to take an hour of your time to focus on local entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's music. Sometimes that is art, or, you know, plays, a photographer, a juggler. I mean, who knows?
Yes.
You know, we're going to have it all on that.
Mimes, show. Big on radio. Really big on radio.
We're going to be able to give you an update on where you can catch some of your favorite local acts.
Yep.
We'll be giving you, like, hey, you can catch out these guys at this bar and that kind of thing.
That's right.
Some of that stuff is what we'll be previewing and doing.
Mm-hmm.
After we get done with a couple of opening topics here, we'll get to what's new on your small screen tonight.
Yep.
Covering some of that, but it'll all start on a local basis. We've got a bunch of great local community theaters around us.
We do, yep.
We have so many great music acts. We just aren't able to bring them all in on Fridays.
That's the problem,
so
yeah.
This show will give us an opportunity to be able to do more of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wait till Hoozle's Rise to Music gets going and everything, and we have that Unlabeled show to be able to really be able to feature some of these artists and everything.
I got a feeling we may be there for a few of those.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's some fun stuff we're working on here.
Yep.
And just to give you guys another little, just talking with Sage about this yesterday, we're thinking of putting it either before or after Seth's show on Sundays.
Yes,
I think it'll work good, you know, kind of similar to our Saturday, you know, morning into the afternoon, where Over the Back Fence leads into the Sunshine Polka Show.
And correct,
that
yes.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
More to come on that. Mm-hmm. I would say in the next 3 weeks, month, that will be debuting probably.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that develops.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned in. Kicking the show off, though, here, Def Leppard and Motley Crue, two bands we don't talk about much nowadays.
Nah, we don't.
But they just did something they have not done in their whole careers. Motley Crue and Def Leppard put up some of the best numbers of their careers on this summer's stadium tour with Poison and Joan Jett.
Wow.
The tour sold an average of 37,520 tickets per night.
Jeez.
Which was three times more than any of the bands has done, any previous tour they've ever done.
Man.
At the peak of their careers, they weren't doing those kind of numbers.
No.
Think about that. Now, I think that there's something to be said, too, that they weren't touring with each other. So there's that. You're not just having your Motley Crue fans, but your Def Leppard fans as well.
Your Poison and all that. Yep.
Right,
yep.
Right. But even with that being said, these aren't like small time acts.
No.
At their high, at their peak, at their biggest moment, they are, you can make the argument, the biggest band in the country.
Yes.
Like each one of them. Well, maybe not as much Joan Jett, but I mean, when I Love Rock and Roll came out, like she was one of the biggest
names. She was a hot commodity at the time.
Yeah.
She was.
Poison had their day in the sun. Def Leppard, Motley Crue,
they all had
their day in the sun. That says something. Overall, they sold 1.3 million tickets and earned $173.5 million.
Jeez.
The average of $4.96 million per show. Dang. There's nostalgia.
Take my money.
Yeah,
take my money.
Apparently, yeah. Their two-night stand at Boston's Fenway Park sold 64,000 tickets and earned a total of $9.3 million. Four other shows surpassed the $6 million mark. But
jeez.
And we're just we started our show talking about that one of the hipper things now is, you know, kids wearing band shirts and not even knowing who the band is.
Right.
And you've got four acts here that haven't been popular in over 10 years.
Yeah.
And just record numbers.
Explosions. I wonder if that had something to do with the end of the band, or not the end, but, you know, the pandemic, you know, slowing down and kind of where it is right now, people really wanting to get out. It was a smart move on their part to put all the bands together, because then, like you said, you can draw from a whole bunch of demographics. Now, for sure, most of the people that went were probably fans of all the bands, because it was similar type of music, right?
Yeah, 80s theme.
80s hair 90s, metal,
yeah.
You know, kind of that kind of stuff. But it seems it worked. But still, those numbers are staggering for groups like that. Wow.
There's good numbers, and then there's like blown away numbers,
yes.
And that's what you saw there. I think you're right about the pandemic part, because I know for a fact there were quite a few people that in the last year, like, I don't care what it is. I just want to go to a live event.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care. Is it mimes? Sure. Let's go see some mimes, everybody. I just want to get out of the house.
The only time that's ever been spoken, by the way.
Probably. So I'm sure that might have had a bit to do with it, but it certainly isn't the whole reason. I think that there is a new love of nostalgia. And there's a new embracing of nostalgia going on with our generation, mm-hmm. with the generation above and the one below us, and mm-hmm. Even the younger generation, again, to the earlier the earlier topic of kids wearing shirts of bands they've never heard of, but the nostalgia that their parents feel, they're even feeling.
Like,
think of how heavy and how powerful nostalgia is and what it can get us to do, what it can get us to make happen.
Yeah. Well, we are witnessing that with our generation. Those are the people that are going to these shows because these were the popular bands when we were growing up. So this is, we have hit that stage now. I'm feeling old. But that's where we are. And that's why these shows, I think it's going to go up. I think you're going to see more of these package tours like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be seeing some really big numbers.
It's going to be very interesting next summer to see what tours look like, what the concerts are going to look like and everything.
People are noticing this.
Yeah.
They're seeing this and they're saying, maybe we should hook up with a couple of bands and do that.
Think of all the bands that are similar to those ones we just mentioned that are sitting at home and like, I could still play.
Yeah.
I got my guitar. I got my axe right here.
Dee Snider needs to do something.
Right, yeah.
Come on.
Hey, he's calling up the rest of Twisted Sister. Like, hey, guys, what are you doing? Like, I mean, you're so right. They're going to see this.
Twisted Sister, Cinderella.
Yes.
And we need another one for that. I'm trying to think of one that would be perfect.
Lita Ford? No, that doesn't fit. No, that doesn't quite fit. No.
But another band like that.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about Loverboy. Cinderella. Loverboy. Sorry, man. I know how much you love Loverboy.
Oh, boy.
But I don't think they're quite in that group. They're in a little different group
there.
They're with Styx and REO Speedwagon. They're with that group over there.
That's much more fitting.
And Journey.
I just can't stand that band.
They're with Journey.
I can't stand Loverboy. Okay, I can handle Journey.
I can't.
That's yours? Okay,
the Journey is mine,
SNL is getting ready for their next season. They're going to kick off their 48th season very soon, October 1st, actually. And they've just announced their first round of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Teller will be hosting the first episode. He kicks off the 48th season, and the musical guest will be Kendrick Lamar. That should be interesting.
Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Miles Teller.
Yeah. He's a talented actor. I'm not a fan of his.
Yeah.
But I am a humongous fan of Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. He's
gigantic
cool.
Gigantic fan of Kendrick Lamar.
This is a little confusing to me though. Why is Miles Teller kicking off your season?
Because he was in Top Gun.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all.
Even though it's been out for a while?
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, but SNL traditionally does this with that opening season episode where they kind of like, it's more about summer than it is about fall. It is kind of like almost review, a summer review.
A review,
sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
Oftentimes, whoever just won the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, you know, ends up
being on there too.
Michael Jordan, I think, was the first host, or it was like a host once for that.
I remember that now.
It might be a little of that. I don't know. Megan Thee Stallion will pull double duty on Saturday Night Live hosting and acting as her own musical guest on October 15th. And on October 8th, Brendan Gleeson will host with musical guest Willow Smith.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Hmm.
In She-Hulk was hilarious.
Yes, she was.
She was funny in that.
She was really good in that. Yeah, she did it. She impressed me. I did not expect I knew that she was in it, and I didn't think it would be like they would give her that many lines or anything. She did a nice job.
She did a great job. It was awesome.
Even if I don't like the artist or I don't know the artist, which I'm not going to pretend to know a lot of her music.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed when an artist does this, when they will do double duty.
Because that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
Just can't even begin to imagine, if you've never done anything like it, what it can be like to take on just being a host or a music guest, let alone do them both.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Let's take a look at what is new on your small screen tonight. ABC, big night for ABC fans out there. 4 ABC sitcoms return tonight starting at 7 with the 5th season premiere of The Conners, followed by the 10th season premiere of The Goldbergs and the 2nd season premiere of the amazing show Abbott Elementary. And the 3rd season premiere of Home Economics. Abbott Elementary is kind of that next show that is taking over. that is kind of becoming a darling, and rightfully so, if you ask me. I love that show.
I have heard other people talk about it, about how, you know, or, oh, I haven't watched that one. Oh, you got to see this show. It's really remarkable.
Well, I'll be honest. I originally wanted to start watching it because Quintina Brunson is somebody that I worked a little bit with, and I have a lot of respect for, and just one of those people I'll always root for in the industry. Mm-hmm. Just good people. She's such a good person. Mm-hmm. You think I'm self-deprecating. You should meet her. I got hooked on the show because of the first. I'm a fan of the way that they, the storytelling, the kind of Office, Parks and Recs kind of storytelling.
Right.
The almost documentary-esque kind of way.
With the interviews, yeah.
But it gives you an insight into teaching, and more in particular, inner city teaching that you never get. And I'm not saying it's a perfect, like, this is what teaching is, like it's a perfect example of it, but they've shown insights that I know from going to school in Chicago, but I never saw out here.
Right.
And some stuff that I saw out here and in Chicago that I never thought about before was like, oh, it's a mutual world there. Like, there's a connection there, that kind of thing. It's a great show. It is a really good show.
You know, I don't want to get too off the – I don't want to digress too far, but it does make me think of something about sitcoms and the evolution of the form from where it was. Think back to the 1970s. What kind of characters did they mostly portray in the 70s on sitcoms? Working class people.
Yeah.
Sanford and Son, you know, even All in the Family.
These were
all people that were, you know, went to work every day, worked at the factory or whatever, you know. They couldn't always make ends meet. They were, you know, this was the thing. You go to the 80s, now all of a sudden everyone's rich.
Yeah.
You know, on sitcoms, everyone is, we don't know where their money is coming from because they never talk about it. But all of a sudden, you know, Friends is a great example. Okay. Yes. What are these guys doing? They live in the middle of Manhattan on these great apartments. Wait, whoa, this doesn't make any sense. What jobs they do?
The realistic version of Friends ends in one episode because they can't pay their rent. Because nobody's even if all six of them are working, they couldn't have afforded that apartment.
We have to work on that pilot. But the thing, the change, and now they're kind of coming back to it a little bit. Yeah. They're looking more towards the working class, you know, whoever the working class, more minority people, you know, because there are, shocking, lots of working class minority people. And maybe they've got some stories that we should be highlighting. So this is just an observation on my part.
It's a good one. The 8th season premiere of The Masked Singer is on at 7 on Fox. The 43rd season of Survivor is on CBS.
That's still on?
I know. I didn't even realize it is. The 8th season premiere of Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago PD all on NBC tonight. And the premiere of The Amazing Race is on CBS, along with the 3rd season premiere of Big Sky. And the one that Seth and I are all excited about, the series premiere of Andor on Disney Plus. Diego Luna returns as his Rogue One character, Cassian Andor, in this Star Wars prequel series about the start of the Rebel Alliance. Stellan Skarsgård is the guy in this as well. Stellan's in this. One of the better actors.
Fabulous actor.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll say that as much as I love those core three movies, the first ones, The New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, they're classics, and they will always have a special place to me, especially Empire, because it was the first movie I saw in theaters.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I got to say, the more I think about it, the more Rogue One becomes my favorite Star Wars movie. It just, period. Wow. It was my second, but the more I'm chewing on it, like... we just got done talking about nostalgia. My love of Empire has a lot to do with nostalgia, has a lot to do with being a little kid in the movie theater for the first time and experiencing that. Just as much as I enjoyed the movie, I enjoyed the experience. Rogue One, I watched at home on my laptop the first time I saw it, and I watched it again the next night. Like, the very next night, I watched the whole thing over again. I couldn't get enough of it. I love that movie. I think part of what surprised me about it, and spoiler alerts to anybody that hasn't seen Rogue One by now, everybody dies. you're going into it, and you know what happens. You know A New Hope. It's the movie that takes place, that tells you what takes place before A New Hope.
Immediately before it, right.
Right. So you know that Darth comes in, you know, and all these things and stuff, and it's never going to be the same and all that. It's building into that. And knowing how it ends, I didn't expect to like it. I thought, oh, I'm going to watch it because there's a bunch of actors I like it and everything, and it's a Star Wars movie, so of course I'm going to watch it. I ended up just loving that movie. Mm-hmm. And so because I love that movie so much, it's part of the reason why I'm so excited about this limited series that they're doing with this. Because I don't think they're going to do a second season. I don't think that there's 12 episodes, and that tells you something.
That does. You're absolutely right. When most of them are 6 to 8 these days, they're giving you a 12 series because they want to do the story right. And they're really, because we know what happens. I mean, in the end, what happens to him in Rogue One. Yeah. So, and which is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. This is one of those things. So this is, I'm not sure who's behind the creation of this show. I don't know if it has anything to do with the Favreau universe of Star Wars stuff.
I'll double check, but I'm almost positive.
Yeah. So which they've done mostly, you know, good stuff. Some stuff hasn't been the best, you know, it's been okay, but it's not been great. But for the most part, they've done a really good job. And this is kind of different with what they're doing with this character. Like, Rogue One was different.
Yeah.
It was in Star Wars, but it felt Star Wars, but it was felt very a very different kind of Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to put into words. But anyway, first of all, you've got an amazing actor. Okay? Yeah. Who's also, I think he's in a producer on the show, too,
if I remember. Yeah, he's an executive producer.
Which tells you something.
Yep.
Means he cares. He really wants this product to be good.
Yep.
Plus, I mean, Diego Luna? Who gets a cool name like that?
I know. Seriously. It's not fair.
Is that
fair.
His real name?
It's not fair. Yeah, it's his real name.
Oh,
it's not
fair. That is not it's fair. Not, no, it's not Sorry. Fair. Diego.
It is a good note to mention about the executive producer thing, because being an EP on a show, it's going to, if I'm making $100 on this show, that means I'm going to make $85 to $75. So there's that. You don't do that unless you believe in the product, of course. Mm-hmm. But you also do this. You see this more and more actors doing this on all your favorite shows because it gives them a seat at the table. All of a sudden, when I'm here, when we're talking about my character's my costume or my character's accent or any of these things, actors have never had a place at the table. Good directors will lean on their actors and let them create, but it never really is traditional. Now it's a different day, and actors are starting, especially with the pandemic, what happened, and studios don't have the money they used to. Mm-hmm. So, hey, Diego Luna wants to give up 25% of his paycheck so that he can be an EP? Sure, why not? And then they let us in the room. And as soon as you let us in the room, then we've got some say, and we've got an ability to be able to put some of our creative stuff out there. It's a new day with that.
Yeah.
This is in the years, in the lifetime of Hollywood, of entertainment, this has never been a thing. Actors have never had any control or power.
Nope.
They're finally starting to get it, similar to employees getting it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, which is really interesting, seeing how they're mirroring each other at this point.
I also will say, and because I don't expect this to be common knowledge, Seth touched on something really good. When we were kids, you didn't have a season. It wasn't a season unless it was 22 episodes, at the very least.
Yeah.
So most were 24 to 25.
Yeah.
That, of course, has changed a lot and everything. And now a season could be anything from 6 episodes to, 20-something.
20-something, right.
Or even with the BBC, where they have series where they're 3 episodes.
Four,
that kind of thing. You see a show in its first season coming in with 12 episodes, not only a weird number, but more than what Disney Plus usually does, where they do 6 episodes for most of their shows. Mm-hmm. That means they budgeted for it, but they also budgeted for 2 seasons. So they're filming basically 2 seasons. They filmed. It's already done filming. They filmed 2 seasons basically because they did not feel like they had a third or a fourth.
Yep.
So let's do it all here at once.
Wow.
Everybody learned this from Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg, a while back, he's got Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox is one of the biggest names in the game. Like, everybody wants this kid. Everybody wants to work with him. Spielberg knows this is coming. He sees it coming. He knows what he's got here with Back to the Future. I got a sequel that's good. I like this and everything. And I know that the studio's going to want me to do a third movie. I don't really have a script that great or anything. And I'm not going to be able to get this team back. There's no way I'm going to be able to get Michael back. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. And then if I can't have Michael J. Fox, is it Back to the Future, let alone without Christopher Lloyd and everything?
Try Eric Stoltz.
This is what we're going to do, everybody. We're going to do something nobody's done. We're going to film back-to-back movies.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's taking a break. We're going to get done with the second one. We're going to take a day off, and we're going right into filming the third one. Mm-hmm. People thought he was insane.
Oh, I remember
this
that.
This will never work. Those movies are going to bomb. They're going to be horrible. How'd that work out? Worked out pretty darn good.
It worked out pretty good.
And you see people do it now. Now all the time you see this going on with that.
Yeah,
where it's not uncommon to do these things.
Right, right. And then because you had Lord of the Rings, it took it to a new level when they did basically 3 movies at the same time.
Yeah.
With some, of course, they had to do more stuff behind the scenes, but they had the actors there for And I mean, what was it, 18 months?
Yep.
For the initial primary shooting,
yeah.
Which was unheard of at the time. What actor is going to take 18 months out of their schedule? Well, it worked out pretty good.
Because here's the other thing with that, and, mm-hmm. and this is a part of the reason why so few actors want to do TV gigs.
Mm.
If I'm Jensen Ackles and I'm on a popular TV show like Supernatural, at least 8 months of my life are booked.
Yep.
And that means in those 8 months, I contractually can't do anything else. Hey, I'm a big name director, and I want you to be a part of this huge blockbuster. I want you to be a superhero. Your name's going to be in every household in America. Oh, you're under contract. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Moving on.
Yep.
Who's next? That's it. And then they move on to the next guy, and you're never thought of again. You never look at you again.
Yep.
You've got to when you're committing to something like that. It can be a career killer, especially mm-hmm. if you commit that time to that show. You film all those episodes. 2-3 episodes in, you're not getting the ratings. It's gone. It's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that yep. time, all that energy, all that everything you put into that.
You speak like that's from experience, James.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
like you've dealt with that before.
Yeah. There are few things that hurt worse than being a part of a TV show, putting, 10 months into it, into 11 episodes with not just you, your fellow actors, director, writers, and no big names. No big names. Just people struggling and just trying to get that big break. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get on Fox television. Just have a silly little TV show on there. You put all this effort and all this time into it. And then the producers tell you, well, we already have a law show called Bull, so we're not going to be able to use your show. We think it'd be overdoing it.
Ugh.
And your show that you put all that into is still, to this day, sitting on a studio shelf somewhere.
It's somewhere. It's somewhere. Sitting on a shelf somewhere.
For nothing. Because they made more money shelving the show than they would have putting it on if they predicted. They weren't sure, but they thought because they had another law show. And
right.
at the time, there weren't a lot of law shows on TV. And I'm still not over it. I'll be honest. I'm still not over it.
That was a big deal. And it could have been a game changer for you. And but it didn't happen.
It's in that part of it, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
That actually, I think that part of it kind of worked out for me.
Oh, okay.
Looking at where I am in life now and the relationship I have with my kids and everything, like, I'll give up a TV show to have the relationship with my kids
right.
that I got. But I that doesn't mean creatively as an actor, I'm still frustrated by it. I'm still, because it's not just me I'm frustrated for. There was a kid, Eddie, that was a part of this show that was probably a better actor than I am. He's gone now. He's not allowed. He's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only thing, the only chance that the world had to see him.
Yep.
He did a lot of theater out in New York, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never going to be in anything ever again.
Nope.
And that kid worked his tail off.
Yeah.
Ooh, we came close to that. Worked his tail off for that show. Gave everything he had for it. Left his life in New York to come here and everything.
Yep.
To come to L.A. to do that. And yeah.
Yeah.
With the Andor show,
yes.
that is going to be premiering, or that it's already on Disney Plus.
Yeah, right? You can watch it right now.
Yeah, right. I'm curious to see, too, the type of Star Wars fan base they get for this. Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but the fan base itself has kind of been split up a little bit.
Yes.
Of people who are just into the old school stuff, and
yep.
that's all they care about,
mm-hmm.
and don't want anything to do with all these new things, and some that are into both, and
yeah.
a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see.
It's hard to think that it ain't going to be too darn good, too.
Like
that,
it is, you're right.
I don't want to assume or anything,
yeah.
but it is a little hard to imagine that they could mess this up.
Yeah, right.
I did want to wrap up with, because you asked about the creators behind it.
Yeah.
It was created by Tony Gilroy.
Okay, that's a name I'm familiar with,
yeah.
but I'm not sure from where.
He was a part of the Bourne franchise.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, yeah.
Did Michael Clayton. He wrote and directed Michael Clayton, Duplicity. Mm. He's also Academy Award Best Director. He's received nominations for Best Director, Best Screenplay,
oh,
and all
cool.
that from Michael Clayton.
Oh, nice.
I think that's the one Clooney won an Oscar for, that movie, Michael Clayton. I'm pretty sure that's the one he won. We'll take a break. We're going to play Seth's news. When we come back, we got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more. But thank you so much, everybody, for previewing Unlabeled with us.
Yeah,
that
was it was fun.
That was a lot of fun. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR.
Mm-hmm. Getting funky around here. Mornings on WFHR. Hope you're having a good day out there. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
We got a good That Ain't Right story here. A good That Ain't Right story.
A good That Ain't Right
story.
That
is a sentence I just said on the air.
Yeah, that's, well, we'll be the judge of that, I guess.
Yes. Earlier today, I asked Seth what's the longest he's ever stood in line, and we were talking about that. Well, the new iPhone 14 came out last Friday, and one guy in India could not wait. I mean, literally could not wait. Refused to wait.
Refused to wait. Ooh.
His name is Dhiraj Pulley. He's an early adapter.
Adapter. Yeah, it's one of those two.
Someone who likes to get the newest tech right when it comes
right,
out. Okay.
Right.
I haven't heard that term before. So
yeah,
one
of those folks.
That's a term, early adapter. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is now.
Right. So last week he flew 1,800 miles from southern India to Dubai just to get the new iPhone a few hours before he could have gotten it if he had stayed home.
Really? Really? Okay.
It gets worse. Oh, he spent $1,600 on the phone itself and another $500 on plane tickets, all to get the iPhone 14 when he already had the iPhone 13 in his pocket. What the what?
Take my money!
Yes, just take my money! It doesn't even matter. Just give me a box. I don't care. Just give me an empty box. Take my money. Is it new? I want it.
Like, basically, that's it, yeah.
Does it have a lowercase I in front of it? I want it. I'll pay $1,000. Just give it to me. The new iBox. It's a box. It's just a box. I got to have it. Give it to me. Yeah, this isn't the first time he's done it either.
No.
He also flew to Dubai to get the newest iPhone in 2017, 2019, and 2021. But each of those times, the new model wasn't hitting India until 10 to 15 days later. So it was a little understandable, but still, 2 weeks? You can't wait 2 weeks?
No, it's not. I don't find it understandable at all. This guy's a nut.
He only got it a few hours early this time, but says it was still worth it. Of course he's going to say that.
Of course he's
going to
say it.
He loves the thrill of lining up outside the Apple store and being one of the first people to get their hands on it.
He needs a new hobby.
I don't want to begrudge people their hobbies or anything like that or what brings them joy. Who are we to say that? But this is a That Ain't Right story. This is a big That Ain't Right story.
Big old one. You know, it's... I don't get that. Like, you made the great point. He's got the 13. How much did they change? I don't think they did a lot of changes on it.
So here's the other thing, Seth.
Okay.
With teaching and the job here and all these things,
yeah.
I got into the eye business a while back. I just have an iPhone, though.
Yeah.
I do not want an eye. I don't want one of their laptops or tablets. I don't want any of that stuff.
Okay.
The phone, though, I will admit, while the phone is almost the price of a house, it's an incredible piece of technology.
It's very
good at what it does. Uh-huh. I, for years, struggled at Second City with Skype calls dropping and things. Mm. Since I've had this, not a blip. Not even
FaceTime
a hiccup.
Works well, yeah.
All those things. But, you know, I mean, I've got the 13. They do this update, or they do this thing with the iPhone 14 or whatever. I notice on my phone, I can update my phone to the iPhone 14.
Right.
So on this, I have all the features that you have on the new iPhone 14.
Except for some of the hardware. That's the only thing that's different.
Yeah, yeah. And he had the 13. And all he had to do was do the update, which took like 5 minutes. He didn't have to travel thousands of miles to get a brand new. I mean, it seems like to me, like the person that has a brand new 2023, you know, a Durango, a Dodge,
a car,
or whatever,
yeah,
a car,
right.
A brand new 2024 vehicle, and before it's even 2024, they want the 2025.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
and there's nothing wrong with the vehicle; they've barely driven the darn thing. But you know, this new one, it has no lock. You know, it has no locks. I could just push the button, and I like that. So they want this one just because of that one little feature or something.
They've got too much money too. That's the other problem. Too much money.
I wasn't going to go there, but that's where I'm coming from.
Oh, I'm totally.
Yeah, yeah. It must be nice.
It must be
nice to be able to just drop that money.
Fly and then get a new phone and then, yeah, come on.
What does this guy do for a living, too, that he can just like drop out of work to go do these things multiple times in his life?
No, maybe he'll get a sitcom and we'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah, he might be.
Early adopter.
I
this fall on NBC.
And you know, I don't know if this is a PC or not to say, but I'm a little, I kind of expected this story to be here in America, not in India.
Would seem that way, right?
That is a little surprising to me.
Yeah.
But while I know a lot about their culture and everything, mm-hmm. I don't know much about modern day India.
No.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't pretend to know a lot about modern day India. I know that it's rough. I know that they have
For
most people, yes. Yeah. I know that we think we have classism here. It's nothing compared to what it is there.
Well, it's a caste system, which is very different from a class system.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely true. So, I don't know.
I appreciate you putting that accurately. You got to get those things right.
Yeah,
I should have
gotten
that right.
Yeah.
But it is, all those things being said,
mm-hmm.
What the what, man? He flew the epitome of basically going from Indianapolis to L.A. just to get a phone hours early.
A couple hours earlier than he normally would.
Welcome to 2022, everybody.
Yeah.
this is the world we're in now.
Stop the world. I want to get off.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I think this is just fun. We got the top 24 classic donuts.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Just a fun story.
Fun story.
Get into that. We come back right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, serious comedy to start your day. Seth and James here with you. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's early morning. Let's talk some donuts.
Yum.
Donuts are wonderful.
Donuts
are great. We love you, donuts.
We do.
The donut addicts at Thrillist.com have ranked the 24 classic donuts from best to worst.
Okay.
We're going to go over just these classics here, but it does remind me that we need a donut shop. We need just like a donut shop, like one of those one of those crazy donut shops where they got like the gummy worms on a donut.
Oh, yeah, all the crazy kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. We need one of those.
Come on, get on that, someone. Come on.
Come on. We'll start from the bottom. That's
okay.
Good.
That works.
So, at number 24, not too surprising, a plain cake donut.
Yes,
your regular kind of just basic donut.
You can never go wrong with those because it's one that most people will eat.
They're good,
and they're good.
Put a little powdered sugar on that.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's nothing wrong with it. I don't know if I've heard of this one. At 23, a coconut cake.
Coconut
so basically, cake. Just like the plain cake, but with a coconut flavor.
Huh. Okay.
Number 22, lemon jelly filled donuts. The jelly in these donuts is mostly, cornstarch mixtures and artificial
basically.
Flavors.
It's all sugar. Yeah, right.
They've never really had to define what jelly is. certain products have to, but other ones, they just kind of get away with calling it.
They do.
It's jelly. And you can almost hear them doing quotes when they say jelly. Like,
we don't know what's in it. Do you?
Right. Find out. Number 21, a chocolate cake donut.
Just a chocolate? Just a chocolate right. version of the classic.
I think they're talking cake donuts.
Oh, like okay, yeah.
Like, you know, you got your regular donut and you get your cake donuts.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that
okay.
kind of thing. Cinnabon. Those are good.
Yeah, that's just like Cinnabon donuts.
I mean,
yeah. It's pretty standard stuff, yeah.
It's nothing, Cinnabons in particular are really good, let alone in a donut.
Yeah, right.
Number 19, strawberry frosting.
Mm.
Now, they're not calling it this, but that is the Homer donut.
I was
going to
say, yeah, because it's got the pink frosting on it, right?
That should be way higher on the list. How dare you? Those are great.
If it were your list then
yes I actually just had one this weekend. I went to Dunkin' and got one of my Homer donuts.
Awesome.
So I was so excited. I walk in there's never any there were, they had like four of them there, so even though there were people in front of me, I'm counting them. I'm like, all right, if every one of them orders one, I can still get one. But I never think about there's the DoorDash stuff nowadays.
Yeah,
so there's people who might not even be there, but there's orders
all
but
of a sudden
I still
you
got
see
one.
Them disappearing. No
yeah I've lost my mind at that stuff in my head. I've never taken it out on anybody.
Good.
I would never do that. But in my head, I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you?
How could you do this to me? Buttermilk bar at number 18.
Buttermilk bar. Is that a place?
Not sure what that is. Yeah.
That sounds like what it is. I'm not familiar with that.
I'm very familiar with number 17. I picked one of these up at Dunkin' as well. A maple glazed.
Oh, yes. More maple.
All hail maple. It is the king of flavors.
I wish we had a ka-ching sound effect. Ka-ching, you just got some money.
Every time I mention maple, I get another quarter. I get a quarter every time. Those are great. Those are really good. One of the things that I think about with those is the homemade ones. Like there's good ones, and then there's homemade.
Yes.
That is really something. Bear claw.
Yeah, the classic bear claw.
Classic, yeah, yeah.
Stock cop joke usually involves a bear claw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are good, though.
Yes.
Sugar round. For those that don't know, but they just your basic donut with a sugar.
With some regular sugar on it. Yeah. Yep. Those are good.
And number 14, very similar, powdered sugar.
Yeah.
So sugar round, sugar powdered sugar.
Apparently there's a big difference between the two.
I guess. I think it's the way that the it is made.
Yeah.
I think a sugar round is actually there's more sugar in the donut and not on top
okay,
of it.
Okay, right. Okay.
I think the powdered sugar it's on top.
Okay.
Powdered sugar, one of the greatest things ever. I love powdered sugar. My mom has one of those old school little crunk crunk things where you put the powdered sugar on top.
On top and then it like dusts whatever you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That thing is so old and it still works. I told
that's awesome.
That's one of those things I want. Like I have to have. Love that thing.
And then he's going to start putting it on his Italian food.
Everything.
And stuff.
I'm going to put powdered sugar on literally everything. On your microphone, on my microphone, I'm going to put it everywhere. Apple cider cake, number 13 on the list.
I don't know if I've had that before.
Sounds
good, though. Yeah.
I want it right now. That sounds awesome.
Perfect for this time of year, too.
You know,
first day of fall tomorrow. It's a perfect fall donut. Fall donut.
How am I in my 40s and I have never had an apple cider cake?
Come I don't
on.
Know.
Come on, James. Get your life together. What are you doing?
Check out Dunkin'. Maybe they got
one. Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah.
French cruller at number 12.
Cruller.
No,
there's
what he said.
Cruller. Is it French? Is it German? I don't know.
Yeah, French cruller. I'm so sorry. It is a French cruller. Yeah.
Okay.
And number 11, Boston cream pie. Yeah, Boston cream. Yeah.
See, when you eat one, you have to talk with the Boston accent. You didn't know that.
Yep. A lot of people
Boston
don't realize
cream.
That.
Yep. You could talk Boston.
Go ahead and try to order a Boston cream donut and, like that. They're not going to do
They're
it.
They're not going to give it to you.
You go, I want a Boston cream donut over here. I want to, you know.
Yeah. Can go along with my chowder, you know.
Yes, yeah. There you go. Glaze twist and sugar twist. Oh, those are so good.
Those are good.
Classics.
Yeah, those are classics.
Classics. So it was my favorite donut when I was a kid.
That makes sense. That's kind of a kid type donut.
Yes.
Because it's different shapes.
Yeah.
And play with it.
Sugar everywhere. Yeah, or just sugar everywhere.
Yeah.
Just sugar. You had me at sugar. blueberry cake, number 9.
Oh, I love blueberry anything. Any baked good with blueberries in it, I am there.
In the last three, four years, I've talked a good game about maple, but in the last, this summer, really started to like blueberry.
Blueberry
a lot
stuff?
More. Yeah.
Blueberries
are
good.
Getting more and more into blueberry things. Mm-hmm. Number 8, the classic crumb cake.
Yep.
It's a good one.
That's a classic. Got to go with some of the classics here, everybody. Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get more of those as we get closer to the top. Number 7, chocolate frosted.
Yep.
Donut holes at number 6. Now, this is where they lose me. Because donut holes should be its own separate category.
You don't think that's donut? Even though it's made from the same ingredients and basically so
I
it's still
you.
Not considered a donut for
I,
it. Okay.
I hear you and I completely understand how most people would assume these things
right. And
understand these things. But the essence of a donut is so much more than the shape of it.
Oh.
It's a state of mind. It's a lifestyle choice. It's a
Where's the donut council? Did they get to you too?
They got to
is that what it is? Is that what this guy is outside here?
I'm sorry, everybody. I should be I'll be honest. I am in the donut pocket. They got me. They got me.
The maple guy. Yeah, the donut guys. I feel better about being the pie guy here because
At least there's some healthy stuff about good pies and everything. You've never seen a healthy donut.
It's a cabal. It's the sugar. Actually, it's the sugar people behind it all.
It's really that group of people that are truly running the world. Not like my people, the Jews. That everybody says it's actually the sugar people that are running.
They are,
everything, and they are in charge of all of us.
We have the proof.
I love donut holes.
They're great.
I'm a big fan of those.
They're bite-sized. You can just grab one and pop it in your mouth.
Apple fritter, number 5.
Oh, fritters are good, too.
That is a good one.
I would put blueberry on that because I prefer blueberry fritters, but fritters are great.
Fritters are good. Raspberry jelly at number 4. That's a good one. They kind of covered that, though, I thought. They kind of had jelly filled
already. They sort of did, but I think it's the specifically raspberry, I think, is what they're going for there. But,
Number 3, old-fashioned. Its ridges, apt for catching glaze, make eating this donut feel like a handheld portable pound cake. Yeah,
you can get. They have the ones that Krispy Kreme makes.
Yeah,
of those are just so good. Oh man.
Number two, rainbow sprinkles.
Just rainbow sprinkles?
Just rainbow sprinkles on a donut.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
That's a good one. I like
okay,
that.
All right.
I don't really feel like I ever taste sprinkles.
I don't know. It's more of a texture thing, I think.
What does a sprinkle taste like? You know?
I mean,
like,
sugar?
Yeah, basically. As I was saying it, I knew the answer.
When I do the podcast for this show, I'm going to count how many times we just said sugar.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm getting a toothache because we're talking about it so much. Man.
Number one on the list, glaze round.
Glaze round.
Many call this the pinnacle of donuts everywhere.
Okay. Again, Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their standard donut is that one. So, yeah.
That is a pretty good one.
It is.
I do want to send a shout out to Beth. I don't often get a chance to take a look at my phone when we're on air here, but I did see that Beth messaged to us. It's the difference in sugar. Sugar rounds are granulated, not powdered.
Yeah, so it's more of the bigger chunks of sugar on there. Right.
On.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Beth. Thank you for that.
All right. Oh, another Kitchen is Open thing.
Is anybody else starving right now? I don't think I've ever been made hungrier on this show.
1690 2nd Avenue South. Bring us some donuts. That's what we're looking for.
I will even beg. I'm close to begging. I love that. That'd be great. I got a Van 8 Wright story here, and this is a big one. This is one that will go down in our greatest worst Van 8 Wright stories.
It's going to be a year-ender, yeah.
After 53 years and 4,600 episodes, the Sesame Street writers must have a hard time coming up with new episode ideas every once in a while. Here's one that's all teed up for them. A 16-year-old kid in Canada is facing charges for carjacking someone on a road in Toronto called Sesame Street. I feel like that's so wrong on so many levels. Like, that should be like the regular sentence is for carjacking, and then like tack on another year just because that ain't right, man. It's Sesame Street, man. What are you doing? I don't care if it's in Canada.
They watch it in Canada too. It's not like they don't know what it is.
They should know better.
Yeah.
They should know better.
What are you doing, man?
There is this used to make me laugh as a kid when we first moved to the south side of Chicago. There's a basketball court there, the Tim Hardy Way, and a lot of famous Chicagoans played on.
Right.
You can't spit on that court. Like, literally. You can't spit on that court. You can do a lot of things on that court, but you can't, like, dishonor the court. I don't know. This was when I was a kid, so I don't know if it's still this way.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, that's how it was. I feel like that's how Sesame Street should be treated. Like, wherever it is, we should be treating it that way.
Do not dishonor Sesame Street.
Nothing bad can happen on this street.
No.
All right? Like, it's like Sanctuary Street, like something like
that's
that.
That's right.
Like, you know?
Nothing. It's all good stuff.
It happened on September 10th. He and another guy walked up to a car with their masks on. They tried and told the person to hand the keys over. There were three people in the car, and it sounds like two female passengers may have been in on it. Cops tracked down the 16-year-old. He's facing charges. He is not going to be seeing, he's going to be away for a bit.
Yeah, he may not be seeing Sesame Street for a while.
Yeah. Right. Yes. This is wrong, man.
All along, we never knew it. Oscar had a carjacking ring.
Yeah.
We didn't know it. I mean,
okay. I'm going to defend Oscar on this one. Because if you spent your whole life and everybody, hey, Grouch, get a job, Grouch. Hey, Grouch. Like, they never, like, half the time, they didn't even give Oscar a chance to, like, say anything. They just immediately, they put it in his name. They call him Oscar the Grouch.
That's true.
Of course he's going to be a Grouch.
I actually feel that the Slimy is the mastermind.
Yes.
He's the one calling the shots.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Slimy's the one. Yeah.
Yep. Glad we dissected that. That was great. Going into our good stories of the day, a woman in Georgia got lunch at a KFC drive-thru last week, and when she got back to work, she found more than $500 in the bag. There was an envelope under her sandwich with $543 in it, but instead of keeping it, she turned it in. It turned out a worker accidentally put a daily deposit in the wrong bag by mistake.
Oops.
They refunded her lunch and gave her another free meal to say thanks.
Wow. No, that's great, though. Oh, man. That's what you do, everyone. That is what you do.
Yeah. The manager said she probably saved his job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to the money? Where's the $500? I don't know.
I actually give the manager a bit of credit for that we even heard this story.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm in that position. I tell anybody. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I'd like to think I would. But.
Well, we go back to the beginning of the show. He did take responsibility, so we have to give him credit for that.
Definitely. You know, we definitely. Do. Yeah. And a good story of the day comes out of it.
Exactly.
Firefighters in Peru navigated their way around several power cables to rescue a kitten stuck on top of a utility pole.
Wow.
It was really impressive work, too. Like, incredible how they were able to manage to work that.
Amazing. Wow.
And is this the best landlord ever? A woman in Virginia had new tenants moving in and fully stocked their kitchen so they wouldn't have to worry about it. She put essentials like eggs and milk in the fridge and even a few non-essentials like two pies.
Oh, jeez.
She also left snacks out on the counter along with a bottle of wine and a laundry basket full of cleaning supplies.
All right. It's out there now, yeah. You landlords.
Yeah.
You know who you are. The bar has been raised. The bar, and I think, you know, I don't want to get too serious about it, but man, you, James, I'm sure you know this better than most people, how we get really lousy landlords.
Oh, yeah.
And doing something like that is so simple, yet it's so... Think about being the family moving in, and it's like, oh, my gosh, we have this... How amazing would that be? How would that feel if you're moving into this place and you had a little bit of courtesy from your land per... I mean, that is so cool. Maybe I'm treating it more than it should be, but I just think that's an amazing, amazing thing.
If you don't want to be a good landlord, that's your business, and that's up to you. Now, if you have a slum, if you have things in the inner cities, it's a lot different. Those people, a lot of my people can't move if they want to.
Exactly.
But say you're a bad landlord here in Wisconsin Rapids or Central Wisconsin or the majority of Wisconsin. If you're a bad realtor, you won't be in business long.
No,
you won't get a lot of business for long. It's an industry that is built on reputation, mm-hmm. and if you burn bridges, pretty soon there's nobody that can make their way to you, across the island. I will always use JR and Coldwell Banker as a outlier, as the standard,
the model.
My parents are. My mom is in a horrible situation, one of the worst of her life. She's got two kids and nowhere to live. She's struggling to find a place on her own with my brother and sister. And they happen to find a place that they can afford, and it's nice. They go in there, and it's not the greatest place, but it'll do. And there's no refrigerator. And my mom has no idea how she's going to get a refrigerator.
Right.
She doesn't have any money. And she says to JR, you know, she didn't even ask for one. She just said, I kind of wish there was a refrigerator there. Didn't say anything. Just okay, that's good. And they part ways. She's going to, you know, she signed some paperwork and everything. She shows up not even 2 hours later. There's a refrigerator in there.
Wow.
She didn't ask for it. There was, you know, was going to rent the place anyway.
Yep.
But he just went and did that.
Amazing.
Like, that is not that uncommon as we think. There are a lot of good landlords out there. There are a lot of good realtors out there.
Yep.
You just got to be picky about it. Be picky about it.
And you can be. You can be picky.
Yeah, you have the power.
You do.
You can be. Seth, great show. Thanks so much for hanging out today.
Hey, thank you. It was fun.
Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. We'll have more show for you tomorrow. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.